And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He says on in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A lot of scripture, but so much truth. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, I pray for just the next few moments, God, that you'd help us. God, without you this morning, this would all be in vain. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the power of the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for dying for the sins of the world. Thank you for coming up out of the tomb that we could have life, and God, that we could have that eternal life. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts, first of all, this morning, for those that are here this morning that would say, how could it be? Lord, I pray this morning, God, you let them see how foolish they are, how they need to see they are going to die, how they're going to spend eternity somewhere this morning. I pray, God, that you let them see, Lord, that you loved them, that you died for them, that you lived for them. And God, this morning, they can have eternal life. I pray for me this morning and for us that this morning that are saved. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us. God, help us this morning to die to ourselves and our foolishness in this day. God, help us to see all that you've done for us, God, and Lord, how we should live for you. We should lift up the banner high this morning in victory because we have life this morning, God. And I pray this morning, God, today, God, would be a day of revival in the hearts of your people, and we'll thank and praise you for it. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Turn your Bibles over to the book of John. John chapter 11 this morning. I want to show you what a picture we just saw of what we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is dealing with the fact that death is a reality. Death is a certainty. Death is going to come to you one day. It might come gradually. It might come quickly. But death will come upon your doorsteps. Death will come to you at a young age. Death could come to you at an old age. Death is a reality this morning. And I'm thankful this morning that the Bible tells me exactly about death and how this morning I can have peace that passeth all understanding over this issue of death because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. We see the power of Christ through the resurrection of the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse number 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The resurrection of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verses number 10 and 11. The Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowships of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Hey, this morning, the resurrection of Christ. We're talking about what that means this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This morning, I know, not Easter that we're talking about, not something that man has made up, not something that churches have tried to make religious and make it so formalistic, but something that will happen one day that we know that Jesus went to the cross, died for the sins of the world according to the will of God, and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, and he ascended back up into heaven, and he lives forever and ever there, and he's coming back for the church one of these days. That's what we're talking about, the power of that resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of filth from the flesh, but the answering of a good conscience toward God. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a dip in the pool. It's not something you did, but it's by the power of the resurrection of Christ. That's what makes us have life this morning and eternal life that we see. Now, John chapter 11, great picture of what I've just tried to tell you this morning. Here we see in John chapter 11 the great story of another grave. Many this morning are going to a grave there that's called the Joseph's tomb there. We know where they placed the body of Christ and how Christ has risen from the dead. We know that story. But this morning, that's what Christ did this morning. But what about you this morning? What has God done for you this morning? And I see that in another grave here. And the Bible tells us here in John chapter 11 about a man by the name of Lazarus and how Lazarus the Lord loved and how Lazarus was sick and how God, Lazarus' family called for the Lord and how the Lord tarried there a few days and then Lazarus died and they buried him. And finally the Lord comes, and we see a great event take place here at this tomb of Lazarus. Oh, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Let's run the scriptures this morning and see what the Bible has to say. Not what the preacher says, not what man might try to tell you this morning, but what does the Bible show us here about this picture of a man being raised from the dead? Let's read chapter 11. I'm going to preach it and read it as we go. The Bible says in verse number 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Great testimony there of a woman by the name of Mary. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. We see here this morning a certain man named Lazarus. Just like a certain man named Anthony White. Just as a certain man named David Leslie. Just as a certain man named John Spade. A certain man. See, this morning, we're not talking globally this morning. That's easy. It doesn't apply to me. We're not talking about a certain creed or group. No, that's too broad. We're talking about an individual named Lazarus. But really, God's talking about an individual named me. A certain man. Now notice the condition. The Bible says in verse number 3, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. What a great picture there this morning we need to understand. Here's a man that the Bible acknowledges the fact, and we'll see even here in a moment, that not only did he love Lazarus, but it goes on to say that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But here in verse number 3, we see a condition of a man in a sick state, that the Bible says that God loves him. And this morning, let me tell you with all the authority that's in me, and what is that authority? I have none, it's just the Bible. That's all the authority. It ain't about what's in me, it's the Bible. God loves you. Oh, how people today try to take God down to their level and say, well, if you're sick, God must not love you. Many times you're going to get in a situation in your life and you're going to feel like you failed God. Hey, join the club. I got a t-shirt. I'll sell you one. You all fail God. But God never stops loving us. Even in the condition that we see Lazarus in his sickness, oh, this morning, how it's so, how in the world could we ever encourage anybody to take a gospel tract? How could you ever knock on a door and a drunk come holding a beer can? Oh, you're sick. God doesn't love you. No. I'm glad that God loves even sick people, because I was sick in sin. So we see, therefore, his sister sent unto him, verse number 3. Look, number 4, verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Look up here. When you get sick, and I'm talking physical sickness right now, I'm talking maybe something comes in your life. Please remember, your life is not about you. The Lord points out that our life, Lazarus, a sick man, his purpose was to do one thing, and that was to bring glory to God. So in our vulnerable states, in our times of trouble, when the world's falling around about us, we need to remember that Christ needs to be glorified in our lives. So we see verse number 4, that the whole purpose of our lives is for the glory of God. Verse number 5, here's what I mentioned before. Verse 3, we saw that he said that Lazarus is sick, the one that he loved. Now look at verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Not only did God love Lazarus, but we're told here in this account that the Lord loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. What love we see in Christ. Oh, how I love Jesus. How can I say that? Because he does love me. And when you, as we read this, and I'll try to point it out as we go, when you look at Martha, she came to the Lord in one way, answered the Lord in one tone, but guess what? The Lord still loved her. She reacted, responded to the Lord in an unusual way, and guess what? It still told us that the Lord loves her. Mary comes to the Lord in another way, and guess what? The Lord still loves her. Lazarus, in his sickness and even in death, we're told that the Lord loved him. So this morning, no matter where you're at in your life this morning, saved, lost, whatever, God loves you. The love of Christ. Never doubt this morning the love of Christ. The love of Christ is not based upon me or you. It's based upon him. Verse number 6, the Bible says this, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Again, why did he stay? I'll say this again in a moment. Now look up here, I want you to get a hold of this. What are we talking about? We're talking about a mystery to most this morning. It's death. If Christ would have responded when he first got the news, and he'd have left and went to Lazarus in Lazarus' sick state, could he have healed Lazarus of sickness? The Lord did it many times. We see the Lord touch the blind. We see him make the lame to walk, the dumb to hear, and all this. But the Lord didn't go when Lazarus was sick. When did he go? When he was dead. If he'd have went and simply took a sick man and healed a sick man, what good could we see this morning in the fact of what about death? See, it isn't sickness that really worries people this morning. What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen to you, friend? Listen, look at me. You're going to die. What's going to happen to you? I don't know, preacher. How can we know? Well, I think we saw a lot in 1 Corinthians. But let's see what happens here. We see here again, verse number 6, he didn't move at the moment. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, and after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of the lake sought to stone thee. And goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, art thou 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Read on this a little further. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now look up here. Now there's a lot of things that we could talk about just in that saying, what he said about the night and the day. I ain't got time to go there. Hey, we can't work but in day. The night cometh when no man worketh. We need to be busy about the business of God. But we're not looking so much at our working this morning. We're looking at death and life. And here we see that this man that Jesus loved, that he's been told of, is sick. He talks with his disciples. They come and say, hey, he's sick, and he abodes two more days. And then they say, okay, let's go. And the disciples, hey, Jesus, don't you remember? They want to kill you back there. And Jesus says, we're going to go anyway. Lazarus sleepeth. Oh, but Jesus, if he's just asleep, it's the mind of a man thinking, he'll do well. And this morning, you're sitting here this morning thinking, I'm good. I'm well. I'm just asleep. It's going to be all right. But then the Lord comes down here because they didn't understand, just like many people today don't understand. The Lord says, Lazarus is dead. How much plainer could it be? And this morning I was dead in trespasses and sin. The world this morning that do not know my Lord as Savior are dead in trespasses and sin. This morning, if you're sitting here in Gospel Light Baptist Church and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you and you're not born again, friend, you're going to die. You are dead. The wrath of God, according to John chapter 3, abides on you right now. And Jesus said, look, you're dead. But then there's a correlation there. He first said that Lazarus sleepeth. And then he says, to them. Notice who he's talking to. He says, hey, you dummies. He's dead. What do you mean, preacher? To me, I'm dead. Or was dead. But to Christ, he takes the thought of that death and puts it in comparison to something that you and I could understand, I'm asleep. Just as easy this morning, she's not in here, she's working over in the children's church this morning. Every Sunday morning I do the same routine. I get up, I go to my daughter's bedroom, I knock on the door, I say, hey honey, it's time to wake up, flip the lights on, she opens her eyes. What? She was asleep. Then she's awake. But hope it never happens. Could happen. I might wake up next Sunday morning. I go in there and knock on her door like I ever do every Sunday morning. Flip on the light. Say, honey, it's time to wake up. And she don't move. Carrie, it's time to get up. Got to go to church. It'll help some of y'all to get up a little earlier so you can get to church. Hey, Carrie, wake up. Wake up. Oh, she's dead. Nothing I could do to wake her up. But with Christ this morning, to what is dead to me, is as easy to him to say, wake up. What a beautiful picture. Read on. Where did I get to? Where did I get to? Verse 15, look at it. I got to hurry, but look what we just read. Lazarus is sick. The Lord tarries. He has a conversation with the disciples. He finally comes up and says, hey, listen, guys, let me spell it out to you. Lazarus is dead. And then look at verse 15. And I am glad. Now, do you think if I walked in my daughter's bedroom this morning and she was dead, I'd say, oh, I'm glad? No. You'd have heard me screaming from down yonder to here. But the Lord just said his friend that he loved is dead, and I'm glad. Never heard that at a funeral. That's what the Lord says. Pretty funny, isn't it? Pretty unusual. It's a pretty weird response. In the depths of our heart, we want to live this morning, not die. Because death is an unknown. Death is a darkness. But again, here the Lord is comparing death not to an end, not to a darkness, but death is simply of him waking you up. Verse 16. Then said Thomas, good old Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciple, let us also go that we may die with him. What a guy. All right, Lord. They want to kill you. Lazarus is dead. You're going to go. They're going to kill you. Hey, let's just all go and die. That's what he says. Pretty interesting. Verse 17, got to move. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Notice this morning, verse 21, look again, the Bible says here, the Lord finally gets there. Martha comes running out to meet the Lord. Look at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Mary, again, remember, verse number 5, the Lord said he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Here Martha's responding to what the Lord's doing. The Bible says, verse number 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, listen what she says. Martha responds, says, Lord, this morning, many of you are going to say, oh, yes, how I love Jesus. He's my Lord. Martha here responds, Lord. Then notice, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. How many times do we do what Martha just did? Lord, and then blame him. Lord, you should have listened to me. Lord, why didn't you do what I wanted you to do? Either he's Lord or he's not Lord. And if he's Lord this morning, that means he's your master. He's the one you trust. He's the one that's in control of our lives. She calls him Lord and then responds not to what he says. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saying to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So we see the conversation here with Martha and with the Lord. It sounds like she's got some kind of plan, but she's leaving out the main ingredient of the plan, the Lord. And then the great thought here of John chapter 11, look with me, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 25, notice what the Bible says. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Most people talk about the resurrection as an event. Oh, this is Resurrection Sunday. No, no, the resurrection wasn't an event. Resurrection is in a person. If you don't understand, that takes all of 1 Corinthians that we read clean out of the picture. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Not a day, not a time. It's a person, and it's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am him. And that's what he tells here to Martha. I am the resurrection. He's dealing with death and he's dealing with life. And then he asks that question. Notice again, in verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then the great question, believest thou this? And that's the question of the hour. Do you believe that? Notice here. Now, I want you to understand, and this is where many of you might be this morning, I'm afraid, many people in our world today. The question that came to Martha here was not a question of who Christ was as king or the Messiah or any of those things. The Lord says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He goes on verse number 26 and says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's the response of Christ. That's the truth. And then he looks at her and says, do you believe that? And then look what she says. Verse 27, this is her response. She saith unto him, yea, Lord. I believe, wait a minute. The question was, do you believe that I am the resurrection? Do you believe I am the living, the Christ, I am life? She says, yes, Lord, I believe what? I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which come into the world. That's not what the Lord asked her. The Lord said, do you believe I am the resurrection? Do you believe I am life? Yea, Lord, I believe you're the Lord Jesus Christ that came down from God. Everybody in here this morning is going to say, I believe in God. But do you believe He is the resurrection? Do you believe He is life? Yea, Lord. What did she say? Yea, Lord, I believe what? That Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's not the question of the hour. The question is, do you believe in a God that sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for the sins of the world and die and go to the grave and was raised the third day? Why? Because He is the resurrection and He is the life and He's the only way to heaven. Do you believe that? Oh, but I believe in God. I've been baptized. That's not the question. The question was, do you believe He is the resurrection? Let's read on real quickly. Look at verse 32. I've got to move. Then when Mary was come where Jesus, we've changed gears. We went from Martha. Martha come pretty much with an attitude. Lord, if you'd have been here, he would have died. Now, Martha's gone back. Mary comes. Here we have that second response. Mary comes, verse 32. It says, when come where Jesus was and saw him, what did she do? She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, she came with a different heart. Martha came with, Lord, if you'd have been here, he would have died. And she comes and lays at his feet weeping. But she says the same thing. See, it amazes me how people try to be so spiritual. And just in spirituality of the flesh is no more different than the carnal of the flesh. Martha came with attitude, Mary come a-weeping, but they both came with the same unbelief, with the same thing of telling God he was wrong, that he didn't do what they wanted him to do. So what happened? That's what it did. Look down in verse 34. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came into her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Easiest version of the Bible to memorize, verse 35, Jesus wept. You see the love of Christ this morning? He sees the condition of man in their ignorance of their spirituality and their how they blame God for everything and how it's always God's fault. It's never nobody else's fault. And Jesus groans in his heart and he weeps. And this morning he still weeps because you won't believe him. It's all about what do you believe? He loved them. He went, even though they blamed him. Look at verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay by it. We see again the love of Christ. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord. Notice her conversation again, Lord. Jesus just said something, and she says, Lord. That's what she says. By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. What did she just do? Again. Lord, I know you said take away the stone. But Lord, are you stupid? Now you'd never say, God, you're stupid. I hope you don't say it verbally. But how many times in our own actions? Lord, I know you're Lord. But Lord, you don't want to do that, do you? Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Lord, he stinks, man. Lord, you don't want to do that. Lord, let me help you out. Let me give you some advice, Lord. Anybody in here ever tried to do that? Oh, yeah. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha said unto him, that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. What did Jesus just do? Jesus listened to her one more time tell him he was stupid. He didn't know what he was doing. That she knew more than he did. And what did the Lord do? The Lord says, Martha, do you not remember what I just told you? Do you not remember I just said, I am the resurrection. I am life. Believest thou this? Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of this people stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound in hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Another grave moment. The Lord spoke to Lazarus. He cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus didn't come dragging out. Lazarus didn't come out crawling. Lazarus walked out of that grave. He was bound with those grave clothes. And the Lord looked at him and said, loose him and let him go. Oh, there was a day in my life, 13 years old, vacation Bible school, just as God called out to Lazarus on that day. A certain man. He didn't just say, hey, come on out of the grave. He said, Lazarus. Why this morning? Because it's personal. As a 13-year-old boy, I sat there in vacation Bible school with all my religion, with all my self-goodness and righteousness, and I sat there in that seat listening to that man that I thought was dumb, and I didn't want to hear anything he had to say. I was there because Mama made me come. And out of nowhere, there was a voice out of heaven saying, Anthony! Anthony! Come up! Get out! And I didn't say, now, Lord, you know I'm dead. No, I said, I come walking out of that classroom, and the Lord had raised me from the dead. And he said, loose him. Why? Because he's the resurrection, and he's also the life. This morning, I am free from everything. My preacher, you sound like you're pretty good. No, I'm sorry, just rotten kind of guy. But God has saved me. I have been raised from the dead. And I have been loosed. And I have life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So much we could preach. I got to go. We're done. Look real quick. Let me show you the rest of this. He looses him, lets him go. Notice verse 45, the whole key to this thing again. Then. Notice then. Then. Verse 45. Notice then. What then? After God had called Lazarus from the dead. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did what? Believed on him. This morning, I hope, I know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the third day. I don't need nobody else to prove that to me. The Bible proved it to me. He proved it to me. I don't need to go over there to the Bible lands to see an empty hole. Why? Because he's not there. But this morning, there's another grave this morning I believe we need to be understanding about. Your grave. Many of you this morning, you got religion up to your nose. But you ain't got no God. And oh, how it breaks this preacher's heart. Preacher, you're judging. Oh, no, I'm not judging. God is the only judge. I'm just telling you the truth. He called Lazarus. He's calling you. Then they believed. This morning could be a then moment for you. John 11:26 again. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Old preacher, you're stupid. Help yourself. I've been called a lot worse by a lot better people than you. I'm all right, preacher. Good luck with that. Preacher, are you mad? No. I'm just trying to get you to see there's a grave. Somebody's dead. Revelation 1:18 says this, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. How can we have life? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Preacher, I've been baptized. Wonderful. So have the frogs. Preacher, I said a prayer. So have the Satanist. The whole key to life, eternal, is a belief in Christ. On Christ. Believest thou this? Let's stand together. Thank you for hanging here with me this morning. Some didn't. Glad you.